My first scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to kind of touch base on all of these that are mentioned in the Bible about this scripture and about this day, what happened 2,000 years ago, and why it's so important. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and setting upon a colt, a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The word of God for the children of God. And all of God's children said, Amen. Okay, now I'm going to go over to John chapter 12. And like I said, this is right after Jesus had raised up Nazareth. Chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, set thereon as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh setting on a donkey's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. See, wouldn't that be awesome, though? Jesus fulfilling prophecy, and then you realize that it was written thousands of years before he was even born, and that you got to be a part of it. That you were in that prophecy. That's what the disciples seen themselves in that prophecy. When they were preparing, doing all that stuff Jesus had told them. And the prophecy comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And I'm going to go there real quick. And this is 487 B.C. The prophet Zechariah, he's one of my favorite prophets. There's so much in Zechariah. But it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt of a foal of a donkey. Well, you can see it don't say donkey. I'm just modernized the translation. And so it was a prophecy fulfilled. And what's so awesome about it, Jerusalem, Israel has been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for their Messiah. And here he comes riding on a donkey. You know, and a lot of people mocked him, but a lot of people were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. But the Pharisees and the scribes, the chief priests, the leaders of the synagogue, leaders of the religion, they didn't like it. Because they knew what that represented. That means, because the scripture, the prophecy said, your king comes to you. And here he is coming in to the city. But he never said he was the king at that time. But just his actions of doing that was proven who he is, prophecy being fulfilled. And so, you know what they tell the people? Shut these people up. You know, you need to shut these people up because everybody's going to believe this and you're going to lead a lot of people astray. And Jesus said, if these people don't praise me, even the rocks would praise me. The stones would scream out. Prophecy being fulfilled. And when you see prophecy being fulfilled in front of your eyes, it's so awesome because that means God is faithful. His word is faithful. And just as Jesus came on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, He's going to be faithful to his return. This first time he came in on a donkey, right, coming in as a Prince of Peace, the King of Glory, the salvation. He had salvation. He's lowly and meek and mild. But when he comes back, he's coming back as the King of Kings. He's coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth, just like it was prophesied thousands of years before his birth. And even during the same time of this prophecy, it was being prophesied that he would be setting up his kingdom on this earth for a 1,000-year reign, where he overcomes all sin. A new creation is coming. But for this 1,000-year reign, we're going to be without sin. There's going to be no sin when he returns. But this time, when he came the first time, he was coming to build his family. Jesus coming to build. God's a family guy. God loves family. He's the author and the finisher of families. And that's what he's doing right now. God's even now, today, on this Palm Sunday, he's still building his family, his children, from every nation, from every tribe, every tongue, from all around the world, whosoever. And he's left it up to his church, his followers, his disciples, the ones who believe, to spread this word, to spread this good news. That's why it's called the gospel of good news. That it's not something we fear. It's something we rejoice over. Because things are going to be made right. God is fixing his creation that got broken by man, the disobedience of man. And so, as they rejoice as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, this week let us rejoice that Jesus came into our hearts and our lives, that he picked you from the foundations of the world to be your king, to be your God. And that's what this week, I want, as you go through your week, think in your mind, who is Jesus to you? What's he mean to you? Is he just a prophet like some of them said, oh, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth? Or is he the King of the Jews, or is he the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, or is he your personal Savior, your best friend? Because the Scripture says in Proverbs, there's a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. And that's what God wanted. He wanted that personal relationship with his creation. He wanted us to be able to hear his voice. He wants us to speak to him. He wants us to have this peace and comfort in the midst of our storms that we're going through in our lives, knowing that the best is yet to come. No matter what we endure on this planet, the best is yet to come. That God has got a new plan of a new creation, and you get to be a part of it. And he wants us to spread this love and this hope to everybody we come in contact with. And I know sometimes it's difficult. It is. Sometimes it's difficult to show the love of God to someone who rejecting, not only rejecting God, but they're rejecting you and your words. And they call you a fool, or they just mistreat you because they're not mad at you. They're mad at God, the God that you believe in. Because we all get in this habit, and I've been there. When bad things happen, we're like, God, why didn't you stop that? Why'd you let that happen? But look what Jesus went through. Look what the disciples went through. Look what all the prophets went through. They went through hell on earth. But let's go back to John chapter 12, and I'm going to read on and what Jesus said to... Let me see. I know I got that wrote down here. It's in Luke. Chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Now this is kind of the same story. And it starts in verse 28. So I'm going to start there. And I'm going to go to verse 44. And this kind of an outline of the whole thing. What Jesus did and why he was doing it. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. So this colt had never, nobody's ever, it was a colt that's never been ridden. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them, And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. Jesus beheld Jerusalem, and he cried about it. And here's why. He's saying, if thou hadst known even now, at least in this day, at least in this thy day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Here's why. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That's why all that stuff had happened to Jerusalem and to Israel. Because they rejected God. They thought they were rejecting some man thinking he was God, the Messiah. But I believe the Pharisees knew who he was. Because all the miracles that he did up to that time and every person that he touched. And the scripture says, He healed them all. And there was only one person who could have done that. And that was the Messiah. It was prophesied thousands of years, hundreds of years before. But here he was coming to his own. And they rejected him. That same crowd, all those same people that were saying, except for his disciples, that were saying, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise God for the King of the Jews. The same people, just 1 week later, not even that long, on a Good Friday, were hollering, crucify him, crucify him. But see, all this stuff had to be done. God laid it all out in the Old Testament. He's laid his plan of salvation, that he was going to come and take our sin upon himself, that we might have life and have it abundant. Even in this days that we live in. And so God is revealing to me as I go through my brokenness that this ain't the end of the story. This is just part of this world that we live in. He said, be of good cheer. In this world you will have tribulations. You will have bad things happen. And it's not like God's picking on you. That's just the way this world is. That's the way a fallen world is. A world that is filled with sin. A world that we're all affected by. Nobody's exempt. And it started in the garden of Adam and Eve. But we have hope. We have a future with hope. Even now, in the days that we live in. Even in why we see all hell breaking loose. God's church is on the move. The Holy Spirit is moving. People are turning to the living God. And sometimes it takes you to get down, to be broken all the way down, before you know to look up. And I know a lot of people that didn't believe in God until they were beat down to the ground by the enemy and by this world. And when they hollered out, Jesus, he saved them. He grabs a hold of us and he puts his loving arms around us and lets us know that this is all right. This is part of living. Dying is part of living. It's just a part, that's the way this world is. But as we keep our focus on Jesus this Easter season, this Passover season, I like to call it Passover season because that's what it is. And because of what he did, the Passover lamb, we, the destroyer, can't have us. The enemy can't touch us. We are covered by the blood of the lamb. by what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. And remember what he said, and we'll get into this next week. It is finished. He completed all salvation. He completed all righteousness 2,000 years ago. And he's given the whole world years and years and years and years and years to grab a hold of this truth and be a part of his family. That's what God's doing. He's making this family. And I'm going to close with this one scripture here. Revelations 19:20. And because I've actually Revelations 19:10, excuse me. 19:10, yes. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is an angel. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that had the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Grab that, grab a hold of that scripture. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's why I am so wrapped up in prophecy. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a guy who loves Jesus. But I'm fascinated by God's word, by his how much he tells us what's going to happen and what has happened. And what we can look forward to. And that as you go through this week, remember, God is for you. He's not against you. God loves you. And if you ever need proof of that, look to the cross. Look what he did for you. And it said, whosoever, for God so loved you. I always try to put my name in here. God so loved me that he gave. And so what I want to do back is give my life for him. To, instead of worrying about my comfort zone, I'm going to worry about the hurting people that I know that need Jesus, even when they reject me. Even when, you know, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes when I'm not really a witness, and I am, but it just comes so naturally. I'm talking to people about God, and then they don't want to hear it, and they kind of blow me off and get mad. You know how hard I want to just grab them and say, don't you want to know the truth? Or you want to go through your life living a lie? I mean, what is up with you people? The truth of the world is this book right here. Everything else don't matter. But see, you know what I'm saying? You ever get that way where you just... You know, as a parent, when you don't take your kid and shake some sense into them. I had a teacher do that to me when I was in eighth grade. And it didn't work. But she felt good about it, though. But still, that's how I feel sometimes about people when... It's like, don't you get it? The one who loves you the most has done the most for you. And if you would just believe... He would open your eyes. He would open your mind. You would have that spirit where it all makes sense to me now. Because without it, it won't. And that's why I love this book. And I love preaching the prophecies because I know that we're towards the end, folks. But it's not the end. It's the new beginning that's coming. And so it's something to rejoice over that, hey, you know what? We're all going to get brand new bodies that's never going to die. It's never going to get old. Can you? That sounds like some fairy tale, but this is God's reality. Just as truth as he came into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago riding on a donkey, he's going to come to this earth again riding on a white horse, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and we're going to be blown away. And remember what the scripture says, as it is written, eye have not seen, ear have not heard, it hasn't even entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you became flesh and came into this wicked world that has turned against you, and you loved us anyways. And you fulfilled all righteousness. You went to the cross and you paid for my sin. And the sins of everybody in here, and the sins of the whole world, that one drop of your blood, one drop cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father God, that you did it. And all we have to do is grab a hold of this free gift and praise you, Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.